Today on the Word of Truth Revealed.
That's what micromanagers do. They don't trust you with anything. They're always watching, listening for something negative so they can pounce on. That's no way for a church to breathe or a relationship to breathe. It will tourniquet, putting a tourniquet on the relationship. The Leviathan will curl itself around it and squeeze it, constrict it until there's no breath. We must trust again. So I come against the puppet master who betrayed you.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, The Disciples of Stewardship. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Deuteronomy chapter 29, verses 5 through 10.
Some of us are waiting for something else to happen. God said, you ought to thank me for what I've already done. I don't have to do anything else for you, but I need you to give me thanks. It'll change. It's an attitude of gratitude when you thank him for all that he's done up until this point. He doesn't need to do anything. I can see the victory, though. I can thank him for the things that he's going to do in advance, but that's not what he's asking you to do. Thank him for the small things. Thank him for the large things. Thank him for the obvious things. Thank him for the things that are not so obvious. Thank for the things that are big and colossal. Thank him for the things that are infinitesimal and very small. The minute stuff that people wouldn't even notice. He said, I want you to thank me for that. Find something to thank me for. Look at your baby and say, my God, how fine you are. I thank God that he allowed me to be your parent. I thank God for my job. I thank God for how he always give me some money. I thank God he's always taking care of me. I thank God he's always working in me. I thank God for my shape. I thank God for the shape of my eyes. I thank God for the color of my eyes. I thank God for Q-tips. I thank him for toilet tissue. I thank him for AC. I thank him for I have a refrigerator. I thank God that everything is working well. I got the limbs of my body. I'm moving. I'm fluent. I can dance. I can flow. I can do what I need to do. I can shift in my life. I thank God that I can play music. I can listen. I thank God for my ears. Thank God for my eyes. Thank God for my nose. Thank God for the shape of my body. I give God praise for my toenails. I thank God for the stuff that I have on my feet. I thank you for my shoes. I thank you for my socks, for my footies. I thank you for my undies. I give God praise that I have some. I thank God I can wash out my undies and put them on again. I thank God that I know how to put on some stuff when I go to the gym. I thank God for the car that I ride in. I didn't even have to pay for it and he blessed me. I give God praise for all. I thank God for my church. I thank God for my bishop because he preached the word every week. He tells me what's wrong and what's right. He's going to tell me whether I like it or not like it at all. And I thank God for the Holy Ghost, for the comfort. I would have lost my mind if I wasn't praising God. But I give God the glory, the praise, and the honor for all that he's done and that he's continued to do in my life. And I still can't motivate some of y'all to wave your hands in the air and give God some praise. The more strong you are in your praise and thanks, the better. When the praises go up, the young people used to say it, the old folk used to say it, the blessings come down. Let me help you. There's a glory cloud above your head that's full of the blessing of the Lord. And God wants to rain it on you. He told me there's 7 millionaires in this church. Hallelujah. You may be one of them if you get your head together. You're about to lose everything you have because you ain't got your head together. And God wants you to start giving him something. I'll take a step back. Give him some glory. Come on, church. Where you at, Truth Reveal? Where the sons and daughters of the house that know he's been good? That's it. That's it. That's the attitude we need in life. Maybe you didn't get the company and the money you want. Maybe you didn't buy the house that you wanted to get. And maybe you feel a little sad, but thank him for what you have. America is so ungrateful.
so ungrateful. He's been good to America. Nations are at the brink of war. There's no war on our borders. We need to give God the thanks. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Woo, Jesus. Talking about an attitude of gratitude. Say it with me. Welcome the truth revealed. Everybody in our church should be saying that to each other. Welcome the truth revealed. And then add something to it. It's good to see. Say something positive. Don't wait on nobody to speak to you. You say it out of a thankful heart. And welcome all people to this house. I don't care if they're black, white, rich, poor, bond free, male, female, Jew, or Gentile. I don't care if they're gay. I don't care if they're transgender. You give God, thank God for everybody to come. They need Jesus too. Everybody can come to the house of the Lord. I don't care what you came out of. We're giving God the glory, the praise, and the honor. This is the house for you. God is going to turn some things around. You got an attitude, and I'm coming after it. You got to get your head together. I'm coming after it. God wants you to start having more gratitude in this life. He wants you to start thanking him for what he's already done. Glory to God. And nobody exempt from the presence of the Lord. Those other churches may have kicked you out, but we welcome all peoples. All peoples can come. Jesus said the kingdom is likened unto a man throwing a net in the sea that catches all manner of fish. All manner a fish. Some of you wouldn't even see how he would choose a Joseph. How would he choose Joseph when he got his face painted? If Joseph showed up right now, walked down the aisle, you would see him, kush, 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 face painted. You would call him homosexual today. That was the culture of Egypt at the time. Belly out. No shirt on. You couldn't handle that, but he was God's man. Sitting on a throne with his legs crossed. Speaking seven languages. You're looking at him from the outside, but God strategically put him there to save many peoples unto life. You're looking through the eyes of religion. You're still thinking about what your last preacher said. You don't understand the time we're in. Believe me, we get them saved. We have an Exodus ministry, but they're all welcome into the house of God. The Bible says Israel was sick and about to die. Jacob is old now. And Joseph brought the two boys that he produced into Egypt. They weren't born in the church. They were born in Egypt, never knew anything about God, only what their daddy told him. And here Joseph brings the two boys before his father, realizing, I may be Zaphnath Paneah, but I am not the prophet. My daddy has an anointing on him, and God gave it to him. Even when he spoke to Moses, he said, I'm the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and that one called Jacob. The one that was imperfect. The one that was always trying to scheme and get over on everybody. The one that means supplanter. Coming out of his mother's womb, he grabbed his brother's heel and was trying to take his birthright even from you. Yet God said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. He loved him from his mother's womb, not because he did anything, but God made choice. I'm going to use Jacob to do the work. And when he introduces himself to Moses, he didn't give him the name that he gave him when he wrestled with him. He gave him the name of Jacob. He should have, to me now, he should have said, I'm the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Because he changed his name. But when he's speaking to Moses, he called him Jacob. Because I want you to know I can use imperfect people with your religious self. High-minded peacocks in God's zoo walking around like you've never done nothing wrong. God wants to save lives. Can somebody say amen? And he will use your stewardship to do so. Yeah. And here's Zaphnath Paneah. Most of the church would have said, but you've been out of church too long. You don't even look like you're part of us anymore. And God has positioned him to do something governmentally, managing things at a whole nother level. He's a good steward. And here he brings his two boys to Jacob. Jacob strengthened himself. Israel strengthened himself. You read it in the book of Genesis. And Zaphnath-Paneah placed Manasseh next to the right hand of Jacob. And he placed Ephraim to his left hand, knowing that his father takes the right hand to place it on the eldest to bless them. In his stewardship, he's right, but he's not prophetic. And the scripture says that Israel switched his hands. And he played his right hand on the younger one and his left hand on the older one. The Bible says Joseph grabbed his hand and said, let it not be so. Your right hand goes on the elder one and your left hand goes on the younger one. And Jacob said, you may be the governor of Egypt, but I know this. God is about to do something with the younger one, just like he did with you. You forgot? Isn't it amazing that God picked you? You may not be the number one pick, but God chose you when everybody else denied you. Isn't it amazing how you can forget that God can choose somebody else? Just like he told you to do great things and you weren't the first selection, God can choose whoever he will. And he blessed Ephraim to do great things. You and I would have said he not church go. He got an earring in his ear. And an earring in his nose. I ain't telling y'all to go and do that now. You got enough piercings anyway. I'm preaching the word. Let me preach. What you need with eight of them? What you doing? The Bible says the boys came out of Egypt. If they showed up right now, they would fit into the world, but not our church. If they showed up right now, thousands of years ago, the world would say, look at you. They could have the heart of God. We would tell them to go and change your clothes. Or when a woman comes at the altar, first thing we want to do is put a sheet over them. Tell the men to get their eyes up. Let the woman worship. Can the woman worship? If she's pouring her heart out, why don't we stand with the sheet? Versus it putting on and going sit down. That's old church. Just stand right behind her so you don't disturb the groove. And challenge all you, not just the boy, because women looking at women too. You got to look at all of it. And y'all mad with me because I preach a modern day gospel. But this is the world we live in. Can somebody say amen? It's not just the men looking. So give him thanks. Can some church say amen? Number two, trust God to provide. I said, trust God. The reason why people aren't good stewards is because they trust themselves and their bank account, but they don't trust God. Trust God to provide. Trust is a foundational concept. Number one, trust is the offspring or the baby of time spent and integrity walked in. Trust is the offspring or the baby of time and integrity. If you have time, over a period of time, doing the right things, you'll see trust grow. It is very easy to kill, though, and very hard to raise up again. That's why when you ever build trust, do everything you can to maintain it. Every time, be very, very careful with trust, because the embryo of trust is easy to abort. Over a period of time, it will grow. This is what's happening with many of us. Because we've experienced betrayal or whatever, it's hard for us to trust anybody again, which means you put a wall, a gabot around your own soul. Nobody can come in, and those that's in, you lock them in, they can never go out because the wall is that thick. It almost become like a prison. when we should be more liberal as it relates to those who enter in and enter out, because you can't hurt me like that. I'm going to trust again. Trust is always better than distrust. Distrust is even worse than betrayal, because God forgive you of your betrayal. But distrust will put a gabot around you where nothing can come in again. And you will allow this to affect the way you worship your God. Unless God is blessing you, you won't give him praise. He has to bless you before he gets your mind. Or someone has to say something positive before you smile. When you trust, smiles are coming from the heart. You don't need anything external. You can just start giving God the glory, the praise, and the honor. Can the church say amen? It is a foundational concept for practicing stewardship. People who trust will be better stewards. If you're managing anybody, if you go on a job, you got to trust the people that you're managing. You have to trust them. And your managers have to trust you. How do you feel when they act like they can't trust you? You don't know me? That's what you don't know me? I wouldn't do that. That's how you react to distrust. But yet you don't trust anybody. So if you were elevated into a stewardship managerial position, how would you handle the people if you don't trust? You know what you micromanage. That's what micromanagers do. They don't trust you with anything. They're always watching, listening for something negative so they can pounce on it. That's no way for a church to breathe or a relationship to breathe. It will tourniquet, putting a tourniquet on the relationship. The Leviathan will curl itself around it and squeeze it, constrict it until there's no breath. We must trust again. So I come against the puppet master who betrayed you. And I speak to the principality and the power that has a string on your heart that pulls it when he wants. He pulls it and tells you, you better not trust. And you better not trust them. He's an intimidating spirit that I come against in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord rebuke you. And the blood of Jesus is against you. And I decree and declare liberty to the captives in the area of trust. And I decree and declare that God is opening up the gates again. And I decree and declare that there's a gate on your gabot. And you're going to begin to allow traffic to come from the other side into your heart again. I come against the iron gate of distrust. And thank God for a free flow. It's affecting the way you deal with your resources. You can trust everybody else but God. You can hear something on the internet, you'll go ahead and put your credit card in there. But when your church asks for, I don't do that. I don't trust them. But you trust Amazon, the snake, the river all around the world. You've never seen Bezos. And he's worth $170 billion. He doesn't need more of your money. And he's going into the next stratosphere. He want to go to the moon, to Mars. He's got his mind on a whole nother planet. And you still give him your money, but you can't trust with God. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. You got to see to believe. No, you don't. You never seen Bezos. Everything he put out, you go for. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody quiet now, right? Guess what? He started in 1995, too. Same year this ministry started. He's building buildings in Melbourne, Brevard County, almost every county in the state and around the world, got major warehouses, and he's still growing. He's in movies. Come on, Prime. In videos, now in medicine. He's gonna start competing with CVS and Walgreens. He's gonna build a hospital after a while. The Amazon Hospital. And people are still going, they like convenience. He had a vision. You trust him more than you trust God. Don't let the enemy cause you to distrust people. And you trust in people you've never seen. Put your confidence in God. God will provide. Trust God. to provide. He will provide. He's always done it. You know it. When the chips were down, somehow or another, God just gave, you just squeezed right through. When you didn't even know how you're going to pay your house, baby, he got something. And you didn't have to do nothing to no man to get it. You didn't have to do nothing. You didn't have to lay up nothing. You didn't have to do anything that compromised you to get nothing. You said no to that, and God still blessed you. And if he did it before, he can what? Trust God to provide. Thank you, Jesus. I believe we need to give. We have some baby is praying, crying. Come on, let's give God praise for always providing. Think about it. It is easy for many of us to trust God with our eternal life that we can't really see than to trust him with our day. Oh, he saved me. I'm going to heaven. Really? I believe you are if you believe in Jesus. But do you trust Jesus with your resources today that you can't take to heaven? Nothing that you own will squeeze through that corridor. You got to leave it for somebody else. I was in a barbershop one time, and I was telling men this. I was in my 20s. I said, man, we need to have insurance. We need to have insurance. If something happened to you, you know, your family will be taken care of. This old man said, who taught you that? I said, I read it in a book. I never met Martin Luther King. I saw him in a book, saw a picture of him. Was he here? Yes, he was here. Okay. I never met John F. Kennedy either. He died before I was born. But was he here? Yeah, I saw it. Well, I saw it in a book. And what I'm telling you, I read in a book. Have you ever read the Bible? Well, why are you getting smart? I said, because you're smart. You're the older one. It's because you're old. You may be old, but you're lacking wisdom. If I'm telling truth, why would it bother you? Because I'm young. The Bible says while you're young, you can have some wisdom. You don't have to wait until you're old to get wisdom. You can get it now. I say, so make sure you do this and that to take care of your family if something happens to you. He said, why would I do that and leave my house to another man? I say, you wouldn't know who's in it when you die. So you're going to block your family away from a blessing? Because you don't want no man. You wouldn't know if you're not breathing. Anybody telling you they're talking to the dead, be careful with that. David said the dead can't praise. Jesus help me. Trust God to provide now. And if you can pay anything for insurance, you can trust him with some money now. Because you won't even live to see the benefit. When it comes to practical things like putting food on the table or making a mortgage payment, or we operate in our own, on our own, being able to take care of yourself or to be self-sufficient as a result of all of the hard work we do, we often worry and experience anxiety, but we still do it. Why can't we trust God even though we feel a little anxiety? The fear is the result of an inability to trust. The more trust you have, the less fear you'll see in your life. Thank you, Lord. And I'm asking God to help me in all areas of fear. I don't care who you are. Fear will try to show up in your life. The key is never allow fear to be the teacher or the principal of your school. It may be a substitute, try to come in for a few days, but it is not your teacher. Don't allow fear to give you a lesson plan and to shape your future. Tell fear, false evidence appearing real,
False evidence appearing real, that faith is superior to fear.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For an MP3 of today's message from the Disciples of Stewardship, log on to our website at www.truthrevealed.org and download reference number 2202-2011. That's reference number 2202-2011.
Bishop has been working on his new podcast, Envision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. This podcast is designed to impact nations. You will be able to subscribe to Envision on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, or any podcast platform. Let's support our bishop by sharing the news with friends, family, and coworkers today.
Registration for Vacation Bible School 2022 is open. It is time for our children to realize everyone has star power in Jesus with Shining Star 2.0. Get more details and registration information in the Truth Revealed mobile app or log on to our website, truthrevealed.org, to register your children ages 2 through 6th grade. Call in all Abishai-inspired men, including young men and boys. Mark your calendar for Bishop's birthday breakfast and the regularly scheduled AIM Monthly Fellowship on Saturday, July 9th at the Tides Club, Patrick Space for Space. The cost is $25 and payments can be made at the Communication and Promotion Counter or online at truthrevealed.org until Sunday, June 26th. Check out the Truth Revealed mobile app for details.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.
You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, W234BI, 94.7 FM, and W264AS 100.7 FM.